Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show,
living off with people,
a variety talk show
giving all
mission
the power to the that were only going
to
bring
me to
my
and I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of sent the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show, 12 Secrets of Highly Successful Women, with our guest, expert guest, Gail McMeekin, a popular national executive, career and creative coach, as well as licensed psychotherapist and writer located in Boston. She has over 30 years of experience helping people to visualize and achieve their personal, professional, and creative goals. She coaches clients on how to leverage their creative ideas and heartfelt, prosperous businesses and fulfilled lives. Gail McMeekin is an award-winning and best-selling author of several books, The 12 Secrets of Successful Women, The 12 Secrets of Creative Women Journal, and The 12 Secrets of Highly Successful Women. She's also created and written two ebooks, Boost Your Creativity, Productivity, and Profit in 21 Steps, and The Path to Creative Success. In addition to books, she's also developed a 90-minute audio cassette workshop on tape called Positive Choices and a deck of cards, Creative Courage Cards. She has been featured on TV, radio, and major publications. For 5 years, she was the AOL Career Center leader on success strategies and co-created and co-host a TV series called Professionals in Transition. She is the founder and president of Creative Success LLC, and I would like you to help join me in welcoming her to the show.
Hi, Yvonne. Great
Hi,
to be here.
Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Because there's only 30 minutes,
right.
First I would like to say that I read over the book, the 12 Secrets of Highly Successful Women, and I must say that it's a very well written, easy to read book, and I absolutely love it. And because we have only 30 minutes, I'd like to first ask you to briefly share with us those 12 secrets as well, and then later on in the show we'll discuss some of the things that prevent success. But if you could share with us those 12 secrets that you have in the book.
I sure can. And they're really a model, so people have to kind of work through which secrets are particularly difficult for them. And again, it really helps to work through this book with a coach or an accountability partner or someone, because it's change is hard to do by ourselves, as we all know.
Yeah.
So this is actually, the subtitle of this book is A Life Coach for Creative Women, so it's really meant to coach you through a process to find your own, what I call, heartfelt personal success. So secret number one is Express Your Creative Gifts and Your Life Purpose. And it's a lot about coming up with your personal definition of success and tapping into what inspires you. We're all creative, so this helps remind you of that. Secret number two, and this is a huge issue for women because we're such great multitaskers, is to sift through your ideas to get heart-focused. So many creative women are dealing with ideaphoria, and they have more ideas than lifetime. So this helps you figure out which ideas are calling to you and how to manage them. And if you don't have creative ideas, or you've gotten disconnected from your creativity, there are a lot of exercises to help you figure out where your creativity ideas are, because they're in there. Secret number three is a huge one for women. Heal your self-esteem and your fears. And one of the reasons I did the Creativity Courage cards is because in all the research I've done about women and moving ahead and becoming successful, that becoming courageous is one of the key factors that determines whether or not you're going to be able to meet your goals.
Yeah.
So we have to heal. We all have bangs and bruises from growing up, and we need to get over those and become fearless women and charge ahead.
Yes.
So secret number four is, and this is another really important one, and that's learn new mindsets for courage and success. Excuse me. So that builds on secret number three. And one of the things that we cannot do is be successful if we've got toxic thoughts in our head.
Yeah.
So that we need to really clean house and get rid of all of the negative self-talk and the saboteurs and so forth, so that we can move up to a higher vibration. And secret number five is a very practical step around designing unique action strategies to give you the creative edge in the marketplace and in your life, because today tapping into our creativity has never been more important, because that's one thing they can't really outsource is you and what you're passionate about. So, and I talk a lot about scheduling and business plans and making decisions and so forth. Number six is committing to your muse, your independence, and your intuition. We all have a muse in there. Mine is called Tiffany, and she lives in Bermuda. And we all have intuition. And in this world of way too much information and too many possibilities, we really have to learn the art of filter, what I call filter and focus, so that we are not overwhelmed all the time. And we need, as women, to tap into our inner voice and our inner guidance. Secret number seven is crafting a business plan that grows you personally, generates prosperity, makes a contribution to others, and enhances your lifestyle. All the women that I interviewed for this book all are very connected to being successful and being of service at the same time. Many of them are multimillionaires. Some of them make enough money just to be comfortable, because their freedom is more important to them than their bank account. So everybody makes their own decisions. But women have a lot of confusion about money. So this chapter helps you untangle that. Now, secret number eight, and this is where, you know, we all fall into ditches from time to time, or we get dealt what I call black cards. So we need to learn how to short-circuit our self-sabotage, our obstacles, and our failures. We all fail. Where we get in trouble is when we don't learn how to recover quickly and get back up and keep going. Successful people fail on a regular basis because they're experimenting.
Uh-huh.
Secret number nine is learn to let go and risk. So that's embracing transitions and being willing to be unnerved. I have a friend who once said, life is a transition. It's not that we go through transitions, we're always in transitions, which I think is a very wise statement.
Yeah.
Secret number 10 is a big issue, and one of the reasons why I have the stress tape and the book, The Power of Positive Choices, is that women get burned out in droves, and we really need to learn how to stop it before we get stopped, either by burnout, overwork, illness, or what have you, so that we need to really learn how to make those positive choices and subtract what I call serenity stealers. And secret number 11 fits in with that, which is build effective mind, body, heart, spirit strategies to nurture your success and well-being. We get very out of touch with our bodies as we're running around taking care of everyone else, so we need to tune in. And lastly, secret number 12 is we need how to learn how to initiate transformation for ourselves and our team. And this is one of the problems for many women entrepreneurs that I see, as well as women in companies, is that we keep trying to do it all, and we can't. We get exhausted, we get burnt out, and then we get ineffective. So we need to learn how to hire the right people to work for us and delegate the things that we're not good at, or the things we could pay somebody $25 an hour to do, and we could make $500 an hour. So that we need to learn how to go through this transformation process ourselves, but also bring our team along. And I just had a team meeting a couple weeks ago, and one of the things I wanted to know is, what do you want to get out of this? What are your career goals? What can we do to help you grow your business and learn the skills that you want to learn? So we need to be careful about who we hire, but when we get good people, we need to take good care of them.
Yeah.
So that's the 12 secrets.
Yeah, and I was reading through them as you were talking, and there's some key things that I wanted to point out. You know, oftentimes we, for example, I've asked someone a while back, you know, what do you really want out of life? And oftentimes we'll hear the common answers, and that's happiness and success. But then when you ask, well, how do you plan on getting it, or how do you achieve that? A lot of times when you try to kind of steer them back to talking about their purpose, a lot of people struggle with finding out what their purpose is. What advice would you give to someone who's struggling with finding what their purpose is?
That's a huge issue. And actually, I'm finishing my certification in a new tool to help people with that. But for years I've done special kinds of assessments and Myers-Briggs testing and Strong and Campbell and so forth, which can often help people find out what they're good at and what their purpose is. I also have people keep excitement lists and do a lot of journaling exercises, and there are a lot of exercises in my first book that help with that as well. But I'm also finishing this process, which if anybody told me 2 years ago I was going to be doing this, I would have said no, which is scientific hand analysis, which is not palm reading, it's not fortune telling, it's grounded in science, it's a repeatable process whereby we can find in your fingerprints your life purpose, your life lesson, and your life school. And again, this is documented, it's not, you know, going to a tea room and having somebody tell your fortune. And so that this has been helping people tremendously, particularly kids who have no idea what they're going to do in college. And then in addition, in the palms of your hands, we have the possibility of having 18 different gifts. And when we know what those gifts are, our lives start really working. And I talk about this in the book, because if we're not using our God-given gifts, we're often in the penalty box, and that's why our life isn't working. So that's a valuable tool to help people. But there are lots of different strategies in the book and exercises in all of my books that help people tap into their life purpose, because when we're out of harmony with what we're here to do, and I see so many people who are slaving away at these jobs they hate, and they really know what they want to be doing, they know inside what their life purpose is, but they're too scared to do it. And there are all these myths about if you do art, you're going to starve. You know, that's not true. One of the women in the book, you know, painted a mural for the Osterville Country Club where the Kennedys go all the time, and got paid thousands of dollars to do that. Her paintings sell for you know, $5,000 to $8,000. So she's just worked at it. She works every single day. She's been smart about it. She studied with the right people. And but she didn't come from a family of artists. I mean, she figured out how to do this herself. So we can be successful at almost anything if we really love it and we're smart and we get good advice and the right kind of support to help us do it. Unless it's something that's being phased out. I always tell people, you know, bank tellers are not a great occupation right now. Have you noticed how the banks don't want you to come into the bank? So that's not going to be a job with a great future. So there's certain kinds of work that is getting sent overseas. But when we're doing something that's uniquely ours and a blend of things, that's a needed service and helping other people change and supporting them in some way, there's a way to make money at it.
Would you say that some of what their purpose is could stem from what their passion is as well?
Hopefully, yes, absolutely. We really want those two to be aligned. And, you know, the things that are calling to us, the things that we're naturally drawn to, and that's one of the reasons I have people keep an excitement list when they're feeling
mm-hmm.
really lost,
mm-hmm.
is because the things that you're interested in naturally and you're drawn to and you want to learn about and you want to talk to people about. I often ask people, what do you want to talk about all day? Who do you want to talk about? And how is it going to help people? And that'll tell you a lot when you begin to track that.
Yeah. And let's say that someone has figured out what their purpose is and all of that. And I know I'm guilty of this as well. But we may know what our purpose or our dreams or things is, but sometimes we self-sabotage. Why do you think so many people self-sabotage their own success?
Well, often we have wounds from the past, and people often ask me, why do you write books about women in particular? Because you also work with men, and I certainly do. But women in particular, we've had a lot of messages about how if we go and do something that expresses who we are, what's going to happen to the relationships in our life? If we make more money than our partner, how's that going to go? If we make more money than our family? If we transcend some of those barriers in our mind and in other people's minds about who we are and what we're doing, we're going to have to deal with that. And also, when we're fully engaged with what we're doing, we have to find a balance between doing that and taking care of the people and the relationships in our life that we care about. And there are also people who don't want us to be successful. I actually call them the Ain't It Awful Club, who want to talk about how bad the economy is and how there's no jobs and nothing's happening and so forth. You know, some people choose to stay there, and I'm not saying it's not a challenging job market or entrepreneurial market because the world has changed dramatically in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So the jobs that existed before, they don't exist, and they're not coming back. So people are needing to really tap into who they are and what they're good at and be flexible. And not everybody supports that. So that one of the things that we find, and unfortunately women do this to other women, is when you're successful, there will be some people that will try to tear you down. One of the women in the book who's very savvy and wrote a book about marketing and social media got 48 endorsements on Amazon for her book, and some guy wrote in and said, accused her of having made them all up herself because she was a marketing person. First of all, that's pretty hard to do with Amazon because they check
yeah.
and double-check the email address
yeah.
and so forth. But it turned out he was a competitor, and he was just trying to make her feel bad. And she was startled because she had never had anybody accuse her of something like that before. But whenever we put ourselves out there, I had one woman write one Amazon review for me. I think I had 50 great reviews, and one woman wrote in, I could never do all this. This is impossible. This book should be thrown in the trash. So she gave me 1 star, and when you get a 1 star, it takes a while to get back to 5 stars, even if you have 50 stars. But anyway, so whenever we put ourselves out there, there are going to be people who don't get it, or they're projecting their unfinished business on us. So we have to be tough, and that's why women need to band together, and we need to have a good support system.
Yeah, and one of the things that I've, and I think that's something that no matter what career or job, type of job you go into, especially if it's entertainment, in the entertainment field, there's a lot of people that don't view it the same as they would if you were a manager of a store.
Right.
And so they, you know, there is a lot of comments and things that, but one of the things that I've personally learned was to, you know, it's not their dream. It's not their, and we tend to focus more on the naysayers than we do the ones that who are being supportive. It seems like we get affected more by that than we do the ones that are giving you congratulations.
That's right.
And I think, too, one of the things is, and what we're kind of staring into is fear. So what are some quick tips on how to overcome fear?
First of all, we have to recognize that when we're stretching and growing and taking risks, we're going to be uncomfortable. We're going to be unnerved, and that's part of the process. And there's a difference between taking positive risks, which are sort of calculated risks that you've thought out and you know why you're doing it and why it's important and you're passionate about it, and then they're kind of impulsive, not so well thought out risks, and like telling your boss off today because you had a bad day and getting fired. So again, it's one thing to think about leaving a company, but you want to ideally do it on your own terms. So that fear can, if we repress it too long, can get us in that space where we just kind of blow a gasket and we lose it. We need to have mentors. We need to have good support people around us. We need to be constantly learning and growing, and we need to be focusing on doing the things that we do well, and maybe we're taking a little stretch, like we're just, for example, we're giving a speech to a larger audience than we have before, so we need to prepare ourselves, and maybe we need to look at some other people who do big speeches where they're projected on a screen and so forth, and you don't have audience interaction and the lights are in your eyes and you can't even see the audience.
Yeah.
So that we need to look at the fear, face it head on, remember why we're doing it. And again, if we're on purpose and we know that we have a mission out there, it makes it a lot easier to step forward and move in that direction.
Yeah. And one of the things for me, you know, to help me overcome fear, because I, you know, it's a natural state.
Right.
But one of the things that I do is kind of trick myself into believing that I'm excited.
Exactly. Right.
Instead of
right.
looking at it like, oh, I'm so afraid, because it will immobilize you. But I'm like, no, I'm excited. I'm, you know, I try to use it to work for me instead of against me.
Right, right. And we also need to recognize that if we're doing something new for the first time, chances are we're not going to do it perfectly. That that when we, you know, take a leap ahead, as I talk about in the book, you have to recognize that you're doing an experiment and you're going to be on a learning curve, and you want to get prepared if possible, but you're going to goof, and that's okay. If you can be kind to yourself and keep going, it's okay. Actually, when I used to teach public speaking, I would do an example where I'd be doing a practice speech for people and I would accidentally drop my paper and just kind of casually pick it up and keep on talking. And then I would do a survey afterwards. How many of you saw me drop a piece of paper? And it was really interesting. Half the people never noticed that I even dropped the piece of paper because I just kept going and was engaged to them and never took my eyes off the audience. So often the things that we think everybody noticed and are going to be disastrous, as long as we're respectful of the audience in that example and we're well prepared and we're connected, they're not going to make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, and to accept that we're human, you know,
exactly.
And not beat ourselves up,
that's
you know.
Right. That's right.
And it's a learning process. One of the things that you mentioned was taking the leap. And
yeah.
I know for a lot of people, this is probably one of the hardest. You know, in addition to the fear, which is part of the fear, I guess, not taking the leap, but
mm-hmm.
how would you advise someone to just, and since we're talking about success, the only way to success is to leap.
Right.
What advice would you give someone who's maybe afraid to take that leap?
Right. There are a couple of things. One, you need to change your mindset about it and recognize that if you're on purpose and you're doing something that you have some skill at and so forth, that you'll be okay. But it's a lot of it is a head trip. And if we're saying, oh, I'm not good enough, if we have all that negative self-talk going, it's not going to work. And secondly, we need a plan so that we need to look at, okay, this is the challenge I'm going to do. Let's just say you want to sell something to a nonprofit or something, an education nonprofit. Well, you don't just go in there blindly. You need to do your homework. If you have a product, you need to look at other products. You need to do your research. You need to go on LinkedIn and try to network. You need to study. I'm amazed at the number of young people that will come into my office that will be interviewing for jobs or selling something for their own business or what have you. And I'll say, well, gee, what did you notice when you went to the prospective client's website? Oh, gee, I never went to the website. Well, my, you know, that's, and again, when you're 22, a lot of us made similar mistakes. But we really have to do our planning so that we go in there as prepared as possible. And we may miss something the first couple of times, but after we've done it four or five times, we're going to be smarter. We're going to know what kinds of questions people are going to ask. And again, if we're passionate about what we're doing, we're going to be more willing to push ourselves, to take the leap, to make the cold call, to go to the conference, to prototype the product, to trademark what we're doing, to go in front of a bigger audience, whatever. We need to know why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I want to add to that, you know, there's, in the past when I made it about me,
mm-hmm.
when I made, you know, whatever it is about me, this, you know, I want this, I want that, you know,
mm-hmm.
it was harder for me to do it than when I put the purpose of why I'm doing it ahead of me.
Right.
And once I made it bigger than myself,
mm-hmm.
and once I'm, whatever the project is, I take myself out of it and I look at it as an assignment from God,
mm-hmm.
and use it. And every time I feel that coming up, that fear of taking that leap, I think back on why I'm doing it. Why am I doing this? Why am I, you know, I remind myself that this is not about me. This is about the service that I'm offering or the product that I'm creating or whatever the case is. So I think one of the keys for me is to remove myself from it. Not totally, of course,
mm-hmm.
but
right.
in a sense where this is not about me. And then a lot of my fears and everything disappear because I'm not focused on how I'm doing or how I'm going to look. I'm focused on what people are going to take away from what it is.
Right. We see ourselves as an instrument towards a greater end that has a higher purpose. And that makes
yeah.
it a lot easier to do it. Again, we still want to have a plan. We still want to be courageous, and we want to prepare and not
right.
go blindly down, you know, some dark alley. But it really does help. And yet for so many of us, some of the things that we're passionate about come out of our own life story, things we've observed, things we've noticed, and we've invented things because they didn't exist and or improved upon things and so forth. So it often does start with us, but you're right, when we can transcend it and think about how important it is to get the message out, that can make a big difference. It's one of the reasons I wrote the first 12 Secrets book was I was so incensed that there would be PBS specials and books and anthologies on creative people, and they would have, you know, 40 guys, and then they would mention Georgia O'Keeffe and Martha Graham, and that would be it.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, my God, somebody needs, how are we supposed to go forward as empowered creative women if we don't have any role models of sane, modern-day, nice, kind, successful women?
Well, I want to thank you so much. We're out of town, but I really want to thank you, and I want to welcome you back to the show. I wish you continued success in all that you're doing. And again, where can people go to get your book?
They can go to Amazon, all those places, but my website, creativesuccess.com, has all my books and my courage cards and my coaching programs and my scientific hand analysis and so forth. So they just go to creativesuccess.com. Everything's there, and I'm happy to autograph anything you order.
Thanks again, and you have
a wonderful day.
It was an absolute pleasure.
Oh, it was wonderful. Thank you, Yvonne, and best of luck with everything you're doing as well.
Thank you.
Yeah. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to simply let me know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit me at ypierre.com. That's www.ypierre.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always stay true to yourself. I love you, God loves you, and thank you for listening.